In Romans chapter 13 and verse number 1, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God, the powers that are ordained, that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have the praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore, ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Heavenly Father, thank you for your precious word. Thank you for what this day means as we realize that, Lord, the reason why we can serve this great nation of ours is because you enable us to do that. Father, I pray that you'll please do a work in our hearts today that only you can do. Father, I pray if there's one without Christ, this will be the day they receive Christ as Savior. I pray for that one here today who may be struggling. Maybe there's something in their life they're dealing with. Lord, I pray that you'd please come and minister to them. Father, use your word now. Encourage us and draw us close to you, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated.
A century ago, two simple words declared a truth that's planted in our hearts. And every time the flag is raised, we've been honored to repeat the phrase, so the world will know we are under God. America's been through every trial and test, we are sheltered by the mercy he chose to give in privilege and abundance. This nation lives under God. Freedom has survived under God. We need to recognize we're dependent on his goodness, indebted to his care, maybe more than any people, any time or anywhere. Still our only hope and prayer is under God. When we pledge allegiance now, it's under God. Those words have shaped the land that we hold dear. Some insist it's not allowed to acknowledge that we need him now, but it's never been so clear. Under God, America's been blessed. Under God, but through every trial and test, we are sheltered by the mercy he chose to give in privilege and abundance. This nation lives under God. Freedom has survived under God. time or anywhere, still our only hope and prayer. Under God, freedom has survived. Under God, we need to recognize we're dependent on His goodness, indebted to His care, maybe more than any people, any time or anywhere, still our only hope and prayer, still our only hope and prayer is under God, under God, under God.
Amen. Man one time came to me and said, "Nobody has the right to control my life. Nobody is in charge of me but me." I was thinking in my mind, "Sir, you don't realize what you have." And you know, a lot of people today don't realize who really is in charge. I want to take a moment and I want you to reflect just a minute. I was thinking about how many people don't realize the price that has been paid for this country. The reason why we can enjoy the freedoms we have. Because freedom isn't free. Let's watch this video.
Memorial overnight. The destruction includes painted messages against the military and the war in the Middle East. The three teams were picked up in the early morning hours after evidence was left at the scene.
Grandpa? Something wrong?
Some people sure have short memories, and those who are too young to know need to be taught. Come on, I want to show you guys something.
Do it again. And you, my corner, and your country can do.
You know, the fact is that most people don't understand what those men went through. Breaks my heart. I love America. I love this country. The people that serve our nation. Did not know I was going to do this, so you'll have to pardon me. I don't know how to express my gratitude. But there is one that fought for us as well. And that's our Lord Jesus Christ. Without Him, we have nothing. Without Him, our nation is nothing. You know, God has established ordinances or institutions of order. When I think of the military, I think of order. I think of structure. I think of the harmony of putting things together. God's a God of order. In the scriptures, God has established three mandated institutions to keep order and harmony within a society and a community. Established in Genesis chapter 2, for example, He established the home. God intended the home to be a place of order. I feel bad for a family whose home is out of order. It's not God's intention. God established that home so that there would be order. There would be authority. There would be structure. But then God in Genesis chapter 9 established government, human government, where there would be peace and order. In fact, in Genesis 9, the Bible says, "And God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, 'Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. And the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth and upon every fowl of the air, upon all that moveth upon the earth, and upon all the fishes of the sea. Into your hand are they delivered. Every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you, even as the green herb have I given you all things. But flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, ye shall not eat. And surely your blood of your lives will I require at the hand of every beast, will I require it, and at the hand of man, and the hand of every man's brother will I require the life of man.'" God established the government to protect us. God established the government as a source of structure, to be an extension of what our home is to be. But then there's one other authority that God has established in the world. We have the home, we have the government, and then there's one more. There's the church. God has established the church to be an authority. Now think about it, if you would please, if you notice that really the home is a place where our children learn about life and about social things and all of that. And then the government is a place where we learn about how to get along with others. It's a civil responsibility, but the church has a spiritual responsibility. No, we don't act as a government. In fact, I think when a church tries to act like a government, it creates major problems because it's acting out of place. But our job is to help with the structure of a spiritual life. In fact, the Bible says it like this: "But if I tarry long, that thou knowest how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth." Now, when the Apostle Paul wrote these words that I just read you a little earlier, he was writing it to a group of people that they were struggling. They were struggling because they were a member of two kingdoms. They were a member of the kingdom of Rome. And there Nero, of course, was in power at the time that Paul wrote these words. And then They were also a member of the King of Kings' kingdom, the Lord Jesus Christ. And they were struggling with, what are we supposed to do? How are we to handle ourselves? How are we to deal with life and with authorities? Who am I to obey, and who am I, is it okay to disobey? And how can I handle all of that? And what God was doing was, God was using the Apostle Paul to write to those Christians who were about to suffer some great persecution. How do we deal with authorities in our life? You see, the truth of the matter is, nobody likes authorities in their life unless you're the one administering it. None of us like to be there where there's someone that tells us no, or we can't do this, or we can't do that, or we're not able to do that, or we're not able to do that. I was thinking of these military guys. Can you imagine at boot camp if your drill sergeant said, get up, and you said, I don't feel like it today? And we all laugh because we know that would be an impossibility. Well, man, you would get up no matter what, or they would put you in the brink, or whatever the case is. I don't know what all they do, but the truth of the matter is, you think about that, God has established structure and authority for life and for harmony and for peace to guide us. And Paul was writing to those who were learning how to deal with all of the authorities in their life. And he wrote here in verse number 1, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. God wanted them to realize, and he gives them three reasons why they are to submit to the authorities in their life. Three reasons. So for the man that says, who controls me? You know what my answer to him is? Everybody. Everybody. We all have some control over our life. For a man to think that he can live without any controls is a man that doesn't understand anything about what life is. Life is not about learning to control me. Life is learning about how to live under the controls that God has built in and established for me. When a person tries to live without any controls in his life, he wrecks his life. He messes up his life. He destroys his life. To live without control means chaos. And so God is helping them to understand that. He wanted them to realize that. And so he uses the term subject yourself. The word subject means to place under the authority of another. To be put there and obey what is required. It is not just obedience. It is total support of obedience. Now, I love America. Do you love America? I love this country. I didn't realize how wonderful this country was until I left it. And when I was able to get away and do some mission trips and go to other countries, and I love those countries. I enjoyed all the time in those other countries. It was a blessing to be able to be there and meet other people and other Christians and people serving in difficult places and spending time with the missionaries and those churches and meeting wonderful people there. But coming back to America, I understand why everybody in the world wants to come to this country. We have a great nation. Now, I will tell you this. I'll be the first to admit, I don't agree with everything our country does. But I can promise you the president has never called and asked my opinion on it. In fact, did you notice that passage in the scripture there? It doesn't say anywhere that you are to obey as long as it agrees with you. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say we're to submit as long as it lines up with what you think it ought to be. See, that's been the issue that a lot of people think somehow or another. It's okay to rebel because they aren't doing what I think they ought to do. And Paul's writing and he's saying, look, you have authority structures in your life, and it's not like, they're not kind of like multiple choice. We obey this, we obey that, we obey this, and you pick the one you like. Here's what he's saying. We need to learn to obey whether we agree or not, because it lines up with what God says. Let me give you the first reason. Why does God tell us we're to obey? Why are we to submit to the authority? Why is he telling, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers? Why is he doing that? Because number one, God commands us to submit toward authorities. I mean, that's what God says. God's serious about that. And I want you to notice a few thoughts. Number one, we should submit because there should be a submission to higher authorities. Notice it says higher authorities. Every soul refers to the totality, not just to, it didn't say every person, it says every soul. In other words, when we submit, we are giving everything, my total support. And I want to tell you this today, that I believe that what God is telling us is that we are to recognize that this authority that God has given to me has come to me from God. That means that I support it with my total being. That means that my mom, my dad, my home, my family, my church, my government, all of that has come to me from God. That's what God is trying to get me to understand, that we're to submit to these higher authorities. Do I agree all the time? No. But these authorities are mandated to me by God and His Word. In fact, 1 Peter says it like this, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme. In other words, this authority is no doubt, God says, we're to obey it. It's not always easy, but that's what we're told to do. In fact, the Bible says, look at verse 1 again with me, please, in Romans 13. Notice what it says. It says, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. The idea of ordained means it's authoritative. It has with it that it's a military term. It's the idea of that God set aside the government for a purpose. He set aside authority for a purpose. Look, you know, with homes and families, boy, we need a revival of understanding this truth. Because the home is where we learn how to support government and support our church and support those areas and those institutions that God has placed over us as authorities. It's there is where we learn that. I remember growing up, my dad, there wasn't like a lot of a choice about certain things. My dad didn't say, well, you think you got to clean up today? Now, I'm going to be honest with you. There were times I didn't want to clean up, but I still cleaned up. Because it wasn't my idea, it was my dad's idea, amen, or my mom's idea. So there should be a submission to higher authorities, the Bible says, and there should be a submission to the highest authority. And the highest authority, the Bible said, that there be no powers but that which ordained of God. In other words, God is the ultimate highest authority. Amen? In other words, God ought to be the God in our home. He ought to be the God in our government. He ought to be the God in our church. He ought to be the God in our life. Everywhere we go, we ought to do that. Now, how does that start? The moment we receive Jesus Christ as Savior. That means we realize that we're sinners and we can't go to heaven on our own. In other words, the highest authority in our life needs to be God. And by following those God-appointed authorities, in essence, I'm following God. That means that drill sergeant that you had in boot camp was God's appointed authority for you. That means that teacher in your school, that's God's appointed authority for you. That means that employer who at work may be difficult to deal with, that's God's appointed authority for you. That means that in the home, the structure in the home is that God has established this. This is the way God does that. To the teenager that says, I don't have to listen to what mom and dad says. You don't understand God-appointed authorities. It's not about just, you know, doing whatever we want to. It's realizing that God has established these things in my life that it might protect me and maintain order and harmony. That's what God says. Man is never given the right to disobey God. He's mandated to obey God. God didn't say, okay, well, we know it's difficult and Nero is kind of a jerk, and so we'll just kind of, you know, it'll be okay. You guys go ahead and rebel. No, that's not what he says. God is saying to us as a church that we need to recognize these God-appointed authorities. And let me say this. I'm very thankful for our military and paramilitary organizations in our nation that is trying to protect this country that we live in. If it were not for them, we couldn't even enjoy this freedom we're enjoying right now. I don't know about you, but sometimes I just really get, my blood gets a boiling. You can see it's a passion for me. My blood gets boiling when I see someone taking a flag and burning it right here in our country. You know what I want to go do? I'm going to go knock them down, pour the water on the flag, and get it back and fly it. Because I think it's a bad thing when people consider that they would destroy the flag that represents the blood that was shed for freedoms in this country of ours. God commands us. That's the reason why. That's why we're supposed to do what we're supposed to do. That's why Paul says that to those Christians who are saying, What do I do? What authority am I over? Does that mean that I'm supposed to ignore all other authorities and I can just do whatever I want to do? No, God says you have higher authorities over you. These authorities are those that I established. And by rebelling against those authorities, we're really rebelling against God. And God said, the first thing is I command you to do it. Number two, the second is, God says, not only that, but he says God condemns those who rebel. In verses 2 through 4, he talks about that. He's telling us that he will condemn the man who rebels. In fact, if you notice, this outline is just here in the scriptures. This is just as clear as a bell that when we look at it, he tells us that we are to submit and understand that these higher authorities bring with it rebellion, brings God's condemnation. The reason why is because the government is mandated by God. It's the way that God ultimately establishes his authority in our world. And to violate that is rebellion against God's appointed authority, as we talked about. But look at verses 3 and 4. Here's what I want you to notice. Not only the government is a minister of God. You ever thought about that? I remember several years ago, in fact, I was looking back at my records, and I pulled up a 1996 message. And in 1996, that's when you got out of the military, by the way. I was looking and thinking about that. But as I pulled up that message, I was looking. It was called Police Appreciation Sunday. And I remember looking at that Police Appreciation Sunday in there, and I still remember to this day, we had the we didn't have this parking lot over here, or this lot we're working on. It's not done yet, but we didn't have that. I remember sitting in the back. We had this parking lot back here. Doug Millender was our police chief in those days, and there was Mike Mitchell. Mike just retired last month. Mike was out here, and I remember having several guys out here, the officers I know very well now, but they were out here. And I remember they all sitting around because I got up and I preached a message, and I was dealing with the same passage. And here's what I said. I said, do you realize that every one of you officers in here, you are ministers? And they were out talking about that. And they said, how can I be a minister? Do you realize that to minister means to serve? That's what we're to do. And the government is a service. I mean, God uses them as a servant to him. Now, I'm not saying that everything the government does is directly by God, but notice what the Bible says in Proverbs 21. It says, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will. A civil leader is a servant of God. Whether he's a military personnel, whether he's a politician, a local officer, the Bible said that he is a minister of God. And as a minister, that we're to recognize he is doing God's work. And God uses the church, the government, as our good and to punish evil. That's what the Bible says. And that's why it says, he beareth not the sword in vain. In other words, God says, I'm using them as a sense in which they're protecting you, they're guarding you, they're serving you. And they're, by serving you, they're serving me. That's what he says. The reason why is because that's how God establishes his authority. Obey the higher authority. Let me ask you a question. How's your obedience to higher authority? What about within your home? What about within your job? What about within your community? What about within when an officer pulls you over? How do you handle that? How do you deal with it? See, there's a right way. It's a support base, the Bible makes it very clear. But then, thirdly, I want you to write this one down. There's one more reason. God convicts those who refuse to obey. You know, have you ever noticed conscience is, in fact, he says here in this passage, look at verse number 5. He says, wherefore you must needs on a subject for wrath, but also for conscience sake. Any of you ever have a problem with your conscience bothering you? Have you ever been bothered by your conscience, anybody? Let me see your hands. How many of you? All right, most of you have. I know that your conscience can really be very difficult. In fact, it can cause you to do all kinds of stuff. It can drive you crazy. Now, I've heard this, and I'm not sure if I buy into this, but someone said, let your conscience be your guide. But what if your conscience is wrong? I don't think you can go by that, but if you have a right conscience, your right conscience can certainly tell you when you're doing wrong. Your conscience works on you. And God says that if you're going to obey, if you're going to be subject to the higher authorities, your conscience will be one way in which God uses to show you whether you are in line with what he's saying or not. That's what God says. So God convicts those who refuse, no doubt about it, who refuse to obey what he says. In verse number 5, he tells us the reason why. He said, first of all, we're to honor their purpose. We're to honor what they're doing. God has appointed them for a purpose to be our ministers, and therefore those who are active military, those who are veterans, others who've done these things for us, who've taken the office, we understand that they are ministering, and we're to honor them for that. That's what God says. As many of you, when you have taken the oath of office, how many of you have ever taken the oath? You know what I'm talking about, the oath when you got in the military? I know all of you guys did. Anyone else ever done that? Military? Police? Any police? Okay, some of you are police. I had to take the oath as well as a chaplain for the police department. We've all taken, you know, if you have ever taken that oath, I take it very seriously. The one about protect and defend. That's huge. It's big. So it's not something you take lightly. I mean, we're saying that this is a sense in which we have a purpose for our job and for our service to the community, to our nation. God says that our conscience will bother us if we refuse to honor their purpose. That's why this morning my heart was so touched as I looked out and I saw all these people and all these men and women standing across in front of us. My heart went out to them and what they've done for our nation. Thank God for that. But the problem comes in then, what happens if the government says you can't do this and you can't do that, you can't preach the gospel, you can't get out and pass out tracts, or you can't meet anymore in that building and preach the gospel, you can't do that. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. But if you choose to disobey, you have to be willing to suffer the consequences. But I would rather suffer the consequences of man than the consequences with God. That's what God is saying. God says that he wants us to recognize that, and that by honoring their purpose is that we are honoring what they serve. And for me, if an officer pulls me over or someone in the military stands next to me, you know, I just want to reach over and pat them on the shoulder and say, thank you, sir. Thank you, ma'am, for your service. I appreciate everything you've done for me. And I think that ought to be the spirit of every believer, honoring their purpose. In fact, my conscience would bother me if I didn't. But then also recognize our responsibility. Now, here's where it really gets personal. The Bible says we're to pay our taxes. Isn't that what it says? It says we're to pay. And here's where people come up to me and say, well, you know, I don't really agree with what our government says, so I don't think I should pay our taxes. Let me ask you a question. Did Jesus pay his taxes? He went and paid his taxes, didn't he? You know, the same people that paid his taxes are the same people that crucified him. Do you realize that? In other words, what I'm saying is this. We're to pay our taxes because it's right to pay our taxes. I read about a man who for 11 years didn't pay his taxes. For 11 years he didn't pay his taxes, and here's the strange thing about this. You know what he would do? Anytime he heard anything about the IRS, he would cringe. He even heard the word tax, it bothered him. Everywhere he went, he would always be afraid that maybe someone's going to garnish his wages or attack his bank account or somewhere or another. Somebody was going to find. You know why? Because his conscience was bothering him. Eventually, he did pay his taxes and did get caught up. But the reason why is because his conscience was bothering him. I read there is a conscience fund where people can go to. If your conscience is bothering you and you haven't paid your taxes and you haven't paid your part of what you should within a community, you can go and pay in this conscience fund and pay your debts to your government anonymously. When the conscience begins to work in our minds and our hearts, we cannot live with ourselves until things are made right. One city announced that we're going to do a tax investigation and we're going to be prosecuting all of those who violate. They put it in the paper, kind of stirred the entire community. The next day, once all this was announced, it was a funny thing. At City Hall, a ton of people came in and got their taxes straightened out. None of them were going to be the ones they were going to prosecute. You know why? Because of the conscience. Here's what God says. God says that he put these local authorities over us, these governmental authorities, church authorities, these home authorities, these higher powers, all of these over us to maintain this order and harmony. And when those get out of whack, here's what happens. Our conscience will bother us. That's what he says. And what God's concerned about? Our understanding, first and foremost, is that every authority that we submit to ultimately goes back to God. Do you know Jesus Christ as Savior today? Are you 100% sure that when you die, you're going to heaven? As we think about these men who have given their lives for our nation, think about Jesus Christ who gave his life for you and for me. You know, the final full measure of devotion was seen in the Lord Jesus Christ by dying on the cross for our sins, and he was buried and he rose again the third day. The ultimate submission is to him and to what he did for us. Let me urge you to receive Jesus Christ as Savior. And then what about the higher authorities in your life? How are you responding to them? What are you doing with them in your life? And how about this? What's your responsibility toward those authorities? I believe this. I believe that even if I drive in the middle of the night and there is a stop sign there and there's no officers anywhere in sight, I should still stop. And I want to tell you something. I've been out with many officers and they even stop. You know why? Because they have a responsibility to you. It's all about understanding. Who controls us? God does. No man lives unto himself, and no man dies unto himself. So whether we live unto the Lord, or whether we die unto the Lord. You know what God's saying? Let's live unto him. Shall we pray? As our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, no one